The Heretic's Mark by S.W. Perry and read by Chris Dyer. They come for him shortly before dawn with a showy rattling of keys loud enough to wake the ghosts on Tower Hill. He rises stiffly from the first proper rest he has had in weeks, his joints reclaiming the pain the cold stone floor has borrowed while he was asleep.
"Anon, anon,"
he protests as they take him by his chains.
"All in good time. Incarceration is no friend to old bones."
"Old bones or young, it matters not," says his jailer, with the wistful familiarity of the prisoner's confessor. "You're wanted at Whitehall."
"Whitehall?" he replies. "Has Her Grace the Queen spoken for me? Does the Privy Council accept my innocence? Are they setting me free?"
But no answer comes as they hurry him down the wet, slime-covered steps towards the waiting wherry, only the sharp-tongued screeching of the gulls from the darkness of the river. After months in captivity, Dr. Rodrigo Lopez has almost forgotten what it is to look out upon a horizon slowly prizing itself from the grip of night. He stares about in cautious expectation. By the time they approach Westminster, there is enough light for him to see, to his left, the pale mass of Lambeth Palace rising above the reeds. To his right, the grand houses along the Strand are taking shape. He knows them well. Within their private chambers, he has administered to the greatest men in England. Powder of Spanish fly to help the Earl of Leicester in the bedchamber when his ardour failed to match his ambition. Mercury to cure young Essex of the French gout. Enemas to ease old Burley's fractiousness at the dinner table. The rewards had been handsome, if only to buy his silence. A good house, a certain prestige, money, even the Queen herself for a patient. But they had never truly seen him as one of their kind. In his heart, Lopez had always known it. At the Westminster stairs, the boatmen hand him over to a brace of uniformed halberdiers in crested steel helmets. He almost laughs. Do they think a single white-haired old Jew might threaten the very realm itself? Do they not know that, after months of confinement, he can barely walk unaided? In a panelled chamber with an embossed ceiling painted blue and studded with yellow plaster stars wait two members of the Queen's Bench, Attorney General Cook and Chief Justice Popham. They are grave men in ermine-trimmed gowns. No smiles, barely a greeting. They sit behind a table spread with expensive crimson cloth. It is bare, save for a leather-bound Bible and a roll of parchment with a tail of golden ribbon and a grand wax seal attached. Lopez notes the seal has been broken. "Let them think you're the last man on earth to bear a grudge," he tells himself. They might find a little mercy in their cold hearts.